114,000. That's kind of a round number. That's the approximate number of children in the United States today, I understand, who are eligible for adoption and waiting to be adopted. 114,000. It's kind of hard to imagine that number and the number of children that would like to be adopted are eligible for adoption in our country. And then if you would multiply that number probably into the millions of children around the world who are homeless, fatherless, motherless, destitute, alone, oftentimes barely able to survive in many cases, and other times taken care of by family and others. But the number of orphans in our country and around the world, it's an amazing number. And so when we take time to think about it, when we take time to remember that and it comes to our mind through the media or through stories or through our circumstances or our life, and we wonder, well, what should we think about that as Christians? What should the church do about that? Should the church be concerned? Should the church do something more about children that are orphans? Should we actively try to help to find solutions? You and I both know what it's like to see all kinds of needs in our world and wonder, well, what exactly should we spend our time on, and how should we apportion our time and our resources and our energy to meet the needs of the world around us? We certainly would recognize that the need of orphans is something that's important to the heart of God, and we should be reminded of. And on this Mother's Day, I wanted us to think about and focus on and talk about a little bit, celebrate the gift of adoption, the gift of fostering children, and just highlight today how precious the ministry is of helping to take care of children and teens, those that that do not have mothers and fathers at home. And there are far more children that have a mother at home but not a father than this number would indicate. And how can our church be involved in helping mothers in our congregation who have children at home but not a husband, or fathers that don't have a wife in their home to help take care of their children? It's good for us to be reminded of how special and important and precious it is to have the privilege and the call to take care of the orphans. James chapter 1 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress." We don't have to go far in the Bible to read the heart of God and read how important the ministry to orphans is to the heart of God. There's quite a few scriptures in the Bible that mention both the widows and the orphans together, and that reminds us that God cares deeply about every person, from the very youngest and those unable to take care of themselves to the very oldest and those that are lonely and also have a different kind of loneliness. Exodus chapter 22 says this, "Do not take advantage of the widow or the orphan." You know that many times in the law of the Old Testament, there's a verse, there's a thought from the heart of God that reminds us that God remembers those that are hurting. God remembers those that are widowed and orphaned. Psalm chapter 146, verse 9 says, "The Lord watches over and sustains the fatherless and the widow." Right there in Psalm chapter 146, I read those psalms in there, and they're about thanksgiving, they're about praise, they're about remembering the greatness and the wonder of God. And in the midst of that, in the midst of chapter 146, is this thought and this verse about the heart of God and how He looks over and He watches over those that are the fatherless and the widow. You noticed how great the heart of God is and how it goes out to those that are widows and orphans. From the youngest to the oldest, God loves people. And we are reminded of what is highly valued in God's eyes: caring for people that are hurting, caring for people that are alone, caring for the poor, caring for the destitute. There's all kinds of many words throughout the Bible that capture the thought of this verse and the heart of God, that He wants us to see people that are hurting. God wants us to have eyes that see people around us, in our world, in our culture, in our circle of influence, and in our nation and in our world, people and children that are hurting, and reach out to love them and care for them. We want to celebrate today the joy of adoption and the ministry of adoption, and also taking care of those that are in foster care, how important it is to remember those that are in foster care as well. And I gave you a number a few minutes ago for 114,000. Let me give you another number, 410,000, I understand, roughly, is the number of children and teens that are in foster care today in the United States. Again, I have some numbers about the United States, and you can multiply that 10 or 100 fold around the world, but 410,000 children and teens that are in foster care today, some in homes where they've been placed temporarily, and some are in homes where others live with them together, and many, many, many of them are eligible to be adopted, but are not yet placed. And there are a lot of children that are in the group homes today in foster care within this number who would be eligible to go to a foster home, to a family that would accept them temporarily and to be with them and be a part of their family. But there's not enough foster homes out there. But many of these children and young people would love to be a part of a family. And the call goes out for us to remember as a church. I understand, as I've been reading about foster homes and about foster care in the United States, that about 1 in 4 children who are eligible to be adopted, think about this, 1 in 4 children who are eligible to be adopted will be adopted in the United States. I guess that's something to be very thankful for, but then it just breaks my heart to think about the 3 out of the 4 of children who are eligible to be adopted and want to be adopted and would be adopted if there would be the right match and the right family that would come along and adopt them. But think about that this morning. 3 out of 4 children who want to be adopted in the United States are not able to be at this time. That's a number that seems so difficult for me to think about, the number of children that are not adopted. I also read that about 22,000 children or teenagers age out of the system. That's the term I read, age out of the system of foster care and adoption. About 22,000 a year, they turn 18, and that means that they've lived a portion or all of their lives in foster care, but they've come to that place of 18, and they leave the foster care program without a family. That really should break our hearts. That should break our hearts. I read statistics about those 22,000. That interested me as well, and the 3 out of 4 did, and 22,000 a year, and I read They leave without a family. Without a family that they can call their own. How difficult that must be. I read that 60% of the men who age out of the foster care system, 60%, will be in prison within 3 years. 60%. A lot of times we think about adoption as babies and how precious that ministry is and how what a wonderful thing to celebrate. And today we want to celebrate that, but we also want to grieve for and pray for those that are not able to be adopted. You realize that of those that are adopted, newborns and toddlers, there's also a great number of older children and teens that also need so much to be adopted and to be considered for adoption. And we need to lift them up and pray for them as well. There's so much that's being done in adoption today, and I really want this service to be a celebration of that, but I also want us to know the reality of those that are in foster care so that we can pray and we can find ways to show support and care for families that want to adopt and feel the call of God and feel that that's the ministry that God calls them to be able to meet the needs and care for and love those that need to be adopted of all ages, infants, toddlers, young children, preteens, early teenagers, adolescents, and those in their middle and later teens, all of whom need the care and the love of people around them. We can pray. We can encourage those that would want to adopt or provide foster care to help to resource them. And I'd love for us to find better ways as a church that we can encourage people to adopt in our church family and those that would want to do that. All of us have been blessed by people in adoption. I think of my pastorate and three pastorates and people whose lives I've intersected because of adoption and how precious and enriched my life is. And I see three of them sitting right down here on this front row. I love you guys so much. You're precious to us. I know there's a lot of others too. And I was trying to make a list of people that are adopted or have adopted someone or have adopted children or siblings in our church family. It's a pretty long list when you start hearing the stories. And it's precious to celebrate the wonder and the joy of adoption. I want to draw your attention this morning to a story in the Bible that you might not think of as being a story about of adoption at all. But you know, when I read this story, I think of so many things about the story, but I've never thought about the element of adoption. But it's the story of Esther. It's the story of Esther in the Old Testament. Did you know that Esther was adopted? Do you know that God used Esther and her family and this amazing story in order to save the Israelite people? Listen to this part of the story. I'm going to read from chapter 2, Esther, beginning at verse 5. Listen to the story of Esther. It says in verse 5, "Now there was a citadel of Susa, a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, among those taken captive when Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. The girl was also known as Esther. She was lovely in form and features, and Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and her mother died. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many girls were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Hegai. Esther was also taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Hegai, who was charged of the harem. The girl pleased him and won his favor. Immediately he provided her with her beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 maids selected from the king's palace and moved her and her maids into the best place of the harem." And then reading at verse 19, "When the virgins were assembled a second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. But Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to. For she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions, as she had done when he was bringing her up." Usually when I read the story of Esther and I think of the name of Esther in the Old Testament, I think of this beautiful and faithful and wonderful woman through whom God did these amazing things. We think of her as a heroine, as because she was faithful and she was brave and she did what could have been the very hard thing, how her life saved the lives of so many people. And that's so very true. But there's also another hero in this story, and his name is Mordecai. I want to suggest to you that Mordecai is also a second hero, or maybe the first hero in this story. We know that Mordecai was a faithful Jew. We know his family line. We know that he was the fourth generation of the Jews that had been taken in exile from Jerusalem and taken to Babylon and then into Persia. And so he probably lived about 100 years or so after Israel had been destroyed. But he was very faithful. He was living in exile. Well, there's some things that we see about Mordecai and his relationship with Esther that are told in this story. And the first one is this. It says that he had taken care of Esther as his own daughter. He had taken care of Esther as his own daughter, for she had no father or mother. We also know that Esther was a cousin to Mordecai, and so he had taken in this younger girl or this girl and taken care of her. We also know in this story that he was very protective of Esther, and he was watching out for her. And in every exchange of this story, Mordecai is watching out for Esther. He's protecting Esther. He's helping Esther in order to make the right decisions. We read in this story that he counseled her wisely. On many occasions, Mordecai gave instructions to Esther, and we might not quite understand from the culture, and we might not see everything that's between the lines of this story, but we can see throughout the story that Mordecai cares deeply about Esther and takes care of her, and he is speaking truth into her life. He counsels her wisely, and then he also speaks God's truth into her life, and somehow he transfers to Esther a deep, deep faith that he has of who God is, and the nature and the reality of God. And so Esther grows up with his deep sense of the reality and the person who she can trust in God. I guess if I could use one statement to describe Mordecai, it would be that he's always been there for Esther. He's always been there. He's been there to give his love and his care and his attention to Esther, and how beautiful that is. And because of Mordecai's life and because of his faithfulness and his care, there's a little girl that was cared for and her life was valued. I think of how important it is that we put value in the lives of children and to the orphans, and that we communicate to them how precious they are in life and to God. And somehow, I believe Esther grew up with that sense of value, that she was precious. And her faith was nurtured. Not only was she given a sense of identity and a purpose in life, but she also was given a deep faith. Her faith was nurtured, and she learned what it meant to trust in God. She learned to trust God. She learned to trust Mordecai. She learned that Mordecai was someone who was dependable, and she could believe him. And then God used Esther in order to rescue his people. What a beautiful story of how God worked in the lives of Mordecai and the lives of Esther and brought about the salvation of tens of thousands of Jews in Babylon and across the empire, the Persian Empire, all beginning with a man who was faithful enough to adopt a little girl and love her and care for her and be with her and nurture her and share faith with her in a way that helped her to know who she was and to make a difference in the lives of the people around her world. This morning, we celebrate adoption. We celebrate foster care. We celebrate families that God has given the opportunity. I've invited three people to come and share this morning about adoption. And so I'm going to invite them to come right now. I see Caleb and Sheila, and I see Lynn. And so I'm going to invite you to come and just ask you to share about adoption in your life and what it means to you spiritually. And then we're going to pray for families and for adoption and those that are in foster care today. So Lynn, come on, and Sheila and Caleb, come on up.
This could get interesting. For many years, Mother's Day was one of my least favorite days of the year. Caleb and I had longed for a child for many years and struggled with fertility issues. It just hurt too bad to see many moms with their children. Mother's Day was just another reminder that I wasn't a mother, and church was the last place that I wanted to be on that day. Now I stand before you today, on Mother's Day, the proud mommy of two amazing blessings. So how fitting for me to be asked the question on Mother's Day, what does adoption mean to me? To me, adoption means life. I have a two-part answer. First, I have life eternal life because of God's grace through my spiritual adoption. Spiritually, all who have accepted Christ into their heart know the joys of being adopted and loved by a heavenly Father. Being adopted by God means that we are accepted into his family, and this brings a multitude of blessings and responsibilities. Being adopted by God means that we get to spend eternity with him. As believers, we become children of God and are adopted into his family. Galatians 3:26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." The second part of my answer is about my personal experience with adoption. It is my life because I have a precious life to raise because of adoption. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. And trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Like I mentioned earlier, a number of years ago, we decided to start a family. Through adoption, this was made possible. We have been blessed with a tender-hearted little boy. Just like spiritual adoption, physical adoption brings a multitude of blessings. Sorry, I knew I would cry. Who knew at just 3 days old this boy would change our lives forever? This tender-hearted boy looks after his younger sister, sings praises and hymns about Jesus, and is always concerned about the needs of others and often prays for them. Not a day goes by that he doesn't ask Mommy or Daddy to read his Bible and pray with him. We have been blessed beyond what we could imagine. God is good and faithful. Our children have taught and shown us more love than we knew or expected, just as Christ loves us. Biological or not, my children are first and foremost God's. He is their heavenly Father. We are their earthly parents, their earthly adopted parents. I personally feel like they are on loan to us from God. God's plan is bigger than ours. The gift of life is a beautiful gift. He can bless us beyond what we can imagine. Through adoption, God has given me spiritual life and physical life. Ethan and Whitney have done so much more for us than we have for them. God has given us one of the greatest desires of our hearts, and it is now my greatest desire to see my children adopted into God's family.
I'm just here for moral support. Ethan says the Lord's Prayer pretty consistently at home, and we ask him to say it up here, but I think he's
too shy right now.
Let's give a hand.
But I would like to say that Whitney's probably just as much as a miracle as Ethan was, because just the way she came about, it's been 100% miracle. We don't know what the restriction is for not being able to have children, but she came along and it's been a blessing.
Good morning. I was hoping to have a very special guest, but it doesn't look like he made it. I actually have a perspective, two perspectives on adoption. One as a father, when we found out that Sarah and Jeff were not going to be able to have kids of their own, it was heartbreaking. I know how much I love being a parent, and like Sheila had said, you know, the struggle of Jeff and Sarah going to, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, knowing that they would never be able to have biological kids of their own was very difficult. So I'm so thankful for the adoption process. It's not an easy process. It's an expensive process. I do want to say thank you to all of you who were a part of that, either through prayers, encouragement, financial gifts, because it really takes a lot of people to make it happen, because it is so very expensive. Just what a blessing. Harper Lee was born February 20th down in Texas. Jeff and Sarah were down there for the delivery. He has just been so much of a blessing in our lives. You just can't imagine. I now have two grandsons. If I would have known being a grandparent was this great, I would have had them first, but that didn't work out. But I can tell you, I have a biological grandson, and I have an adopted grandson, and there is no difference. I love them both the same. It is just such a blessing to see Jeff and Sarah being able to have the experience of being parents. And again, anybody that, you know, is in either the unfortunate situation that they cannot have children, or the situation where somebody just has extra room in their heart to love another child, you know, adoption is just a phenomenal opportunity. And again, I just want to thank God that He was able to provide Harper Lee into our family. Thank you.
Life is precious. Would you stand with me? And I want to invite you to pray with me about adoption and for families and foster care. And maybe that God would show us as church families, as God's people, how we can be involved in meeting the needs of children, some that need to be adopted, some in foster care, and maybe some in the ministry of the church in our neighborhoods who need somebody to notice them and spend time with them. I believe so near to the heart of God is to reach out and to care for children. Would you join me as we pray together?